Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Gears a little bit, but our community has been through some heaviness, and I want to speak to it a little bit on walking through adversity and hardship. And whenever grief hits, how do we move through that? And are Christians immune to grief? Or is it something that no one is immune and that we all have to walk through? If you could be willing participants with me, and if you've ever experienced some sort of hardship in life, could you just stand up? Could you just stand to your feet? Any sort of hardship? And that includes everybody. And I was going to break it down even farther because maybe you're like, life's been pretty good. And I say, you know, financial hardship. Has there been any relational hardship? And then you stand, you got to raise both hands, and then you got to raise your head. And, marriage, kids, work, life, hardships that come our way. And as you look around our entire church family, everyone has had to walk through hardships in life. You can go ahead and have a seat. Perhaps there's been some hardships in business. Farmers, have you ever seen your field maybe look like this as it is flooded? Or maybe there's some single parents out there and you're looking at counting up the bills and you're thinking, man, I don't know that it's going to add up this week or this month, and you're counting every penny. And there's the extra stressors that come upon, and even, I think it was just this last year, looking at, you know, the fields and farmers and thinking, God, how's this thing going to work out? How are you going to play this thing out? We're going to have to access that crop insurance or, you know, whatever those things are, because you're starting to figure out, what's my next play, because this isn't a smooth ride. The stressors that come to that are pretty heavy. We've also had so much loss this year, just as Dennis and Pam were sharing last week with Jason and Jamie Thompson, Jamie Wilson, and the loss of their mom. Also, where Steve is, their father has been in a nursing home, is now in a hospital. Would love to read this card to you. This comes from Jamie. She says, Fairmount Friends Family, thank you for the beautiful gift that was sent. We appreciate your prayers for our family with the loss of my mother. Please continue to pray, especially for my father, who is still recovering from COVID and grieving the loss of his life partner of 51 years. She uses this word, grieving, which I think is an interesting word in the timing of her message along with my message this morning. Now dealing with the heaviness of not just the loss of mom, but feeling like the loss of dad as well. I was able to visit with Steve this past week at Westland Health and Rehab. And at the same time, Jamie was on the phone and having to deal with insurance and making those phone calls. The last thing that you possibly want to handle is just details. You just want to be with someone. You don't want to have to handle the heaviness of the other details. Then you got to call and update family, and they're wondering, well, why didn't you let me know? And, well, sorry, my fault again. All of the extra burdens that come with it just continue to, like, snowball, right? And it seems like the snowball just gains speed at the same time. The same loss here with the Martins, with Kyle and Stephanie and their daughter, Chloe. Just layers and layers of grief, the sadness, the aches from the depths that can happen. And we got a card from Kyle and Stephanie. Brock, Andrew, and church family. I like that. Words cannot express the gratitude we feel for each and every one of you. Your true and genuine heartfelt grief for our family, for our family's loss, is truly and wholeheartedly appreciated. Thank you for all of your thoughts, support, and prayers. With Casey Seals and the loss of Layton. Maybe there's been losses that you guys have had just with family that's outside of this context. Maybe you know, maybe you don't. But even just this week, Miss Kathy lost her aunt. And because of COVID, is unable to be with her family. And so maybe you've had to be on Zoom calls to witness the last moments of a family member at their graveside. And aching for you that that's the last moment there. I've officiated so many funerals this summer and fall where people are holding up cameras or cell phones so that people can be in attendance of how limited it is. The ache of that stuff, it feels like another loss. It feels like a second loss. I lost you and then I can't even be with you. Or the loss of you got to drop mom and dad off at the hospital but can't even go into the appointment with them. How about that? You know what I'm talking about? It's just hard. There's just the heaviness of things. I feel a loss with our church family, that we just can't all be together worshiping together. And there's just those separations. And whenever those little pieces of the heart get pulled away, it just aches. It starts to hurt after a while. This morning, as I dive into this, I don't expect to cover every single point of grief this morning, or even provide the entire roadmap of how to kind of move and process and navigate through this. But I do just want to encourage all of those that are going through it right now. I just want to come along as an encouragement. I was texting with Kathy this week, and Kathy, your text was almost like a roadmap for me as you responded just with some great practical steps. But I kind of broke that text down into steps, little points here. I want to share these points. And I asked Kathy about grief and how do we process through grief, and she responded with this. And here's the points that we can show. Grief therapy takes time. It just takes a lot of time. For adults, they need to talk and talk and talk some more, focusing on the good and even the sad memories with that person. Eventually, they need to work on finding a new place for that person in their lives. Typically, the intense grief lasts anywhere from 6 months to a year. For violent and unexpected deaths, this process can take up to 3 years. Obviously, guilt can prolong that process. Forgiveness of self and others is the process of moving forward in that case. Again, this doesn't happen quickly. I suggest finding a solid grief counselor. I'll tell you this, that grief is not foreign to the believer either. Grief is not foreign to the church. And if you would read your Bible, you see there's heartache and hardship, one after another, after another, after another. One of the things that I found comfort in Kathy's response is it takes time, and that we don't have to be in a hurry and we don't have to be in a rush. The goal of grief is not just to get it over with and move on. I would actually encourage the opposite. The goal is to fully feel it, and not to hide it, not to suppress it, but to feel it fully, to maybe even sit in it for a minute. And I love that she said, let's remember all the memories, the good and the bad, and to feel all of the weight of that sadness and try to put it somewhere in your life as you're even moving forward. We see these moments here in Scripture where it seems like there's even just unshakable grief. Like, will I probably have to walk aching for the rest of my life? Maybe it's the loss of a child, a spouse, a parent at a young age, grandparents, you never know. Thinking of just grandma that had to walk through just mega tragedy. That ache just doesn't go away. One of the biggest examples I think we see in all of Scripture is the man Job. In the Bible, he has his entire world absolutely destroyed. The Bible says that there was this man who had all kinds of herds of flocks and barns and sheep and goats, and he just kind of ruled the land. And his entire world is wiped out when this wind storm comes blowing through and knocks over all the bins and all the silos, destroys all of the livestock. And it says that his 10 kids, 7 sons and 3 daughters, are all together celebrating their birthdays. Isn't that interesting? They're there for a good time to celebrate, and as the storm blows in and destroys the house, wipes out child after 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 child. Times 10, the loss that Job goes through. And there's a process that Job goes through, and we see the immediate grief that hits his heart and the sadness that he's walking through. And he literally sits in the decay and the destroyed life. He sits on the rubbles, the ash heap of his life. He sits on it. And he's weeping and grieving. And we see these processes that he goes through. And maybe even mad at God at a moment, right? Questioning, God, where are you? If you're good, why couldn't you have saved this or hedged that? And then we see that he gets these, like he wouldn't eat and he wouldn't sleep. And maybe you felt that, and even to your own hurt, you're grieving just to make a loss. It says, then he gets this sickness and disease, and he's sitting upon the rubble of his life. There's broken pottery around, and he takes broken pieces of pottery, and he begins to scrape the boils off of his body with these clay pots. He has friends that says that they traveled from afar to come and to be with Job. And at first, they're just there to support. But how many of you know, sometimes friends don't always say the right things. And they're trying. I mean, they did their best, right? How many of y'all show up to a funeral or to a memorial, and you're like, hey, I just want to wish you my condolences. And like, you don't know what to do or what to say. I think we need to have grace for everybody when we're going through that. But sometimes we just say the wrong stuff. And Job's friends, man, sometimes they were friends and sometimes they were fools. And sometimes it just reopens the wound. I don't know that that was their intention, but it did. And then there's another person who's grieving, and it's his wife. And she's going through it. And her response is, Job, how can you maintain your integrity? You need to curse God and die. And Job curses the day he was born. I wish I would have never been born. Therefore, I would have never had to experience all of this pain. Maybe the pain has been so intense, you don't even want to live. You curse the day that life hit your body. There has been mega overwhelming grief. Can I tell you this, that Job clung to God through it all. He wrestled through some of it, but he would never curse God, and he would never turn his back on the Lord. It says, because he maintained his integrity, God began to restore those pieces of his life. People, I just want to encourage us that restoration is what God is all about. He restores. He's good, and he's faithful. And to cling to the goodness of God in the midst of the suffering seems almost asinine at times, but I'll tell you, it's our only move. It's our only move. One of my favorite scriptures is whenever the disciples are with Jesus, and Jesus is kind of being roughed up and being kind of, you know, pushed here. And we see that there's people that are giving up on him and rolling out on him. Jesus goes to the disciples and he says, are y'all going to leave me too? Are y'all going to leave? And they're looking around at each other thinking, it's probably wise. And then they turn and they say, to whom shall we go? You are the only one who has the words of life. And people, I want to just ask you, where else are you going to go? We can't self-medicate. We can't go to these other places. We can't go to these empty wells that are never going to feed us. I do believe that we need great counselors around us. And I'm not it. You need like a really good grief counselor. I can encourage you. I can love on you. I can pray with you. But some deeper sort of people that know and that can walk through. And then Jesus. We've got to cling hard. We got to cling to the cross. And if there's ever those times where you're questioning, I don't know that God's necessarily intimidated by you asking questions. But please never question that he's good or that he's for you. You can't allow your heart to go there. You can't allow your thinking to start entertaining that. Fight to keep your heart in this great place. I think about somebody like the mother Mary, watching her son. Not only was her son murdered, but she watched him be murdered. Can you imagine watching the murder of your own child? Watching the beating? And then not only was your child beaten and murdered in public, all of those around that also witnessed it celebrated. Yeah. And you're the mama, aching right there. Coming to Jesus doesn't mean that we have a genie in the bottle and that life's just going to be perfect. Coming to Jesus means that life is still hard. We just have somebody that can walk through it with us. Jesus says this. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary, all who are heavy laden. Learn from me, and I will give you rest." What do you think you get whenever Jesus enters the room? Whenever he walks into that scenario, into that situation. Picture with me that you're sitting at your kitchen table. The lights are kind of dim. It's at night. It's the end of the day. You're sitting around with the bills, or you're sitting around with that hard email or that text. You're sitting around, you just received that phone call. You're alone. You're by yourself. And then Jesus walks into the room. What do you think he brings with him? I think he meets us in our point of pain. I think he meets us in that place of suffering. I think you're going to feel and experience a whole lot of compassion. But I can't help but think that when I'm in the atmosphere of the all-powerful one, that my heart would not be gripped with hope. Holy grippings that I'm going to make it. Hold on, I'm going to make it. He's with me in the fire. He's with me in the lion's den. He's with me in this loss. He's with me in this marriage. He's with me in the pain and the suffering. He's in it with me, and he'll never leave me, and he'll never forsake me. He's committed to all of it. When he went to the cross, he signed up for all of it, and he'll never leave us in this position. This is a scripture I often read at funerals or memorials, but it says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." It says you're going to grieve. You'll grieve, but we grieve differently. We grieve with hope, knowing that one day all will be restored. We grieve the lost, but one day we will see them again. We grieve, but there is something on the other side that can never rob us of any of the greatest thrills that God could ever muster up. The full expression of the character of God is going to be found in heaven for all of eternity. And we get to experience that if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to encourage some hope inside that if Jesus would walk into the room of the kitchen of your heart right now, that you would feel loved up on, you'd feel encouraged, but you'd feel hope. Jesus, thank you for walking through this with me. The situation might not change, but now somebody's in it, and he's able to walk you through the valley of the shadow of death. He's a good shepherd. He is, and he'll lead us through. He wants to restore what the enemy has stolen. The enemy will not win on this one. God will win. I just want to encourage you to do not lose faith. Do not lose hope. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So in Christ, everything that he gives is for our good. Everything can be used for our good. Can I put this into a context that just happened this past week? It's powerful that just happened in the life of a new player for the Indiana Pacers, Caris LeVert. Caris was playing for the Brooklyn Nets, and he was traded to the Pacers just this past week. And he was injured, and he got an MRI done. And during the MRI, it reveals a small mass on his left kidney. Some of y'all know, whenever you're making millions of dollars playing basketball, you don't want an injury. You want to be healthy and whole. And yet he's injured, and now he has to go get this MRI. He says, I didn't have any symptoms. I was playing in all of the games. I hadn't missed any games this season yet. I was feeling 100% healthy, LeVert says. So in a way, this trade to the Pacers and getting this physical and getting this MRI done definitely showed and revealed what was going on in my body. So I'm definitely looking at it from that side and definitely humbled to know that this trade could have possibly saved my life in the long run. You feel like the team gives up on you and trades you. You feel like somebody walks out on you. You feel like something is lost or destroyed. You feel like your body's broken, and all of it does is comes to reveal that it's going to save your life. I've heard stories of people that go into the hospital for a cold and they get an examination to reveal that they have cancer. And if there wouldn't have been something else, they wouldn't have saved their lives. Are y'all with me? Can we just continue to walk faithfully with the Lord that perhaps God is good even in the midst of the hardship? Could he lead it to somewhere else? Don't give up mid-story. Don't give up in the middle of the story, because he's a great story writer and the ending is always the best, and the best is yet to come. If you walk with Jesus Christ, the best is always yet to come. It's not like he's going down. He is only crescendoing. He goes from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from hope to hope, from glory to glory. What you've seen is nothing yet compared to what God has for those who believe in him. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart could even understand or even imagine what God has for those who believe in him. I want to encourage you, can hope enter the scene? Can God come in the midst of the hardship and bring hope to the hardship and to bring some perspective in the midst of the pain? I'll tell you, perspective is the game. It's the mindset. And if everybody's out to get you and we're always the victim and we're always at a loss, I'll tell you, the enemy will grab a hold of that mindset and he will throw a party in there. He will hijack that thing so quickly. But we got to shift our perspective and say, God, I haven't been promised an easy life. I've just been promised that you'll be with me in it. And he'll walk us through because he's good and because he's faithful. For some out there, we just need to gain perspective of our situation. Maybe it is the most extreme, and it has been tragedy. It's been trauma, and it's been death and loss. For others, maybe it hasn't been that real, but we almost entertain it and treat it that way. We need to gain some perspective on these things. Maybe the perspective is like Judah this past week, complaining because his Bluetooth headset doesn't work. You have an American hardship. I tell you, I would much rather laugh in the Honda than cry in the Lamborghini. You know what? We think that we've got it hard. And there are things that we need to gain some perspective and say, Jesus, there is so much more hardships going on. God, could you give me some perspective? And can I not only work through mine, but can I also be a piece of hope to those that are walking around me? The story goes that the farmer and his wife were getting ready for the day and heading out to their barn one morning. And instead of going in, they both grabbed a chair and they sat outside. Looked at the trees, looked at the sky, looked at all of their property. They saw the faithfulness of God. Even though all of it had just been wiped out. And their response is they began to worship. With the tears of pain rolling down their cheeks, as the tears went down, the hands went up, and the heart was humbled before the Lord and said, God, you're my only hope, and I lift my eyes up to the hill. Where my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And God, I got to get my eyes fixed on you. I got to gain perspective of my pain. And in the midst of it all, you're still good. And people, could God not only heal your hardship, but could he use your hardship to bring hope to others? Gratitude began to fill the farmers' hearts. They began to focus on the Lord instead of focusing on their loss. Billy Graham said this. He said, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. But when character is lost, all is lost. People, let's not lose our integrity like Job. Let's keep our character before God. Let's keep our hearts straight before him. I want to show this video clip. And it really is just pushing back on the hardships that we've walked through in life. And it's building up this where you've just got iron in your spirit. You've got steel in your spine. Because Jesus Christ comes inside of you and fills you with hope. He stiffens you up. He helps you power through. And as we watch this video clip, I want you to put some of your pain into perspective and then say, God, I know that you are with me. And we can do this. We can power through it because I know that you are for me. Let's watch this video.
My name is Gary Miracle. And on New Year's Eve 2019, I was airlifted to a hospital in Orlando, Florida. And I fell into septic shock, and 107 days later, I came out of the hospital and I had lost all four of my limbs.
Today, it all begins. I'm seeing my life for the very first time through a different lens. Yesterday, I didn't understand. Driving 35 with a rocket inside, didn't know what I had. While I've been waiting to live, my life's been waiting on me. I'm gonna run. No, I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna know what it means to live. And my just be alive. The world's gonna hear. Cause I'm gonna shout. And I will be dancing when circumstances drown the music out. Say I won't. Not enough. What I've been told, but it must be a lie, cause the spirit inside says I'm so much more. So let them say what they want. Oh, I dare them to try. I'm gonna run. No, I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna. And I will be dancing when circumstances drown.
Would you all stand with me as we close this morning? I'll tell you, hope's entering the scene. We don't grieve like those who have no hope. Oh, we've got the lighthouse of hope. Jesus, I pray right now that you would shine your light. God, that we would see a way where it seems like there is no way. God, that you would love up all of the broken pieces. Jesus, that you would come in and heal the pain. God, I pray that you would lift our head, encourage our heart, strengthen our hands. Jesus, for those that are just sucking wind right now, Lord, I pray that you would put wind in their sail. Holy Spirit, wind, begin to blow on the life of our church family. Holy Spirit, wind, begin to blow in our community. Jesus, we need you. We need breakthrough. We need you to prove that you're faithful. And church, I just encourage you, maintain your character and maintain your integrity like Job. And God, though we are slayed, yet we will praise you. And we honor you, Lord. And heal our family. And heal our land. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.